Chapter 2, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to assemble yet once again, and Father, we ask that you'll settle our minds, our hearts. I pray that you'll help us to listen for just a few short minutes. And Father, may it be edifying. May it be challenging to us. May you be exalted. The name above all names, may it be reverenced. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Verse 9 again, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The word highly exalted means to a name superior of all others. Supreme majesticness. What has happened to the name of Jesus today? When you think of Jesus, what do you think of? We have a society that goes all the way back to some part to Gnosticism back in the 2nd, 3rd centuries, where we have a good God and a bad God. As long as everything's going well with me, God's good to me. But if something goes bad, then God's being bad to me. God's not fair to me. God's not doing right to me. We have a good God and a bad God today. We have, in fundamentalism, we were taught, I can remember where we were sitting, it was where we went to college. The pastor got up and preached a message about Moses and how Moses was able to change God's mind in prayer. Literally, he preached a message teaching us that we could change the mind of God and God's will in our prayers. What boldness man has. What irreverence man has to the name above all names, to where we think in prayer we can actually pull that name and we can manipulate and influence the very God of heaven to do what we want him to do as we see. We have Christian bookstores, Christian TV stations, Christian music, which most of it has the world's beat, the world's everything to it, has just a little bit of Jesus sprinkled in it just to make it sound Christian. We have Christian artists today that used to, in my days in high school, they used to be rock and rollers, but now because gospel is commercialized and we can commercialize the name of Jesus Christ and we can make money by that, now they're gospel artists. And Christians flock to music stores. Christian, by the way, don't you know? And they buy the records. We buy the plaques and the pictures of a poem or man on that picture that is supposed to resemble Jesus Christ. But the Bible would not support the picture portrayed there, a long-haired, skinny, wimpy-looking Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but my Bible says, behold the man. Behold the man. We have trinkets. When we had our church in Colorado, the thing was to, fundamentalism, you had to have a bus ministry and a Christian bookstore and a Christian school. You had to have all these to be a good fundamentalist. We had a Christian bookstore. When I read this passage at work about a week and a half ago, it just hit me like a ton of bricks what we did with our Christian bookstore. Ours was named the Truly Christian Bookstore because I didn't want our bookstore to be like so many bookstores where they sell paraphernalia about Catholicism and the cults and everything else. Ours was going to be strictly Bible. But yet we ordered the trinkets and we ordered the toys and we ordered things with the name of Jesus. Well, let's give them to the kids so when they look at that, they'll see the name of Jesus. No, what we were doing we were causing the name of Jesus to be so commonplace that when someone names the name of Jesus, there is no reverence anymore. There is nothing anymore. There's no fear. There's no honor. There's no respect in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Pastor Nelson brought out in the last preaching hour. The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus everybody loves. Turn on your TV, look at the Christian station. They'll be applauding, they'll be dancing, they'll be doing the gymnastics, they'll be doing all the things to the name of Jesus. Oh, He's such a wonderful God, isn't He? Jesus, the human name, the man. He doesn't scare many people. He's just a man. Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus. A man just like what we are. He got hungry, I got tired, He got righteous indignation. I don't know if we do that, but he was just a mere man. People aren't threatened when you talk about the name of Jesus. In our country, it's a synonymous name with religion. If you tell somebody you're a Christian, you mention Jesus, oh, he's got to be saved. I was working with a man not too long ago. He came up to me. He said, "Hey, so-and-so is a saved man." I said, "Why is that?" "Because he said Jesus." Well, my Bible says that the devil knows Jesus. But I don't believe the devil's going to be going to heaven. Jesus, the man, Christ, the anointed, Messiah, Savior. Aren't we thankful for salvation? Are you glad we're thankful for salvation, man? Thank God that He came to the cross. He died. He suffered. He bled. He took our sins, our punishment. Thank God for Jesus Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Thank God for that salvation. That's not very threatening, is it? A man who is the anointed Messiah, the only Redeemer, Savior of all mankind, comes to save us from an eternal hell, comes and gives us a new life. And boy, wow, we are going to heaven now because of Jesus Christ. Modern Christianity has forgotten one name. The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is Master, Owner, Possessor. The one who owns everything and everybody is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you tack on those four little letters and you call His name the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives an entirely different significance and connotation to His name. The Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 1 said, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up." John in the book of Revelation, he sees Jesus sitting on His throne. Jesus will come back one day with a vesture dipped in blood, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Daniel saw Him as the Ancient One sitting on a fiery throne in the book of Daniel. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, that at the knee of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the Greek it says that Lord Jesus Christ or Lord Christ Jesus is. That He is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. What do you think of when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe years ago, in another day, another time, when perhaps our culture and society was different, I believe the name of our Lord Jesus Christ was more revered and more reverent and more fearful than what it is right now. You realize, Christians, those of you who are saved, those of us who are saved, those who claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, one day every knee will bow. Your knee, my knee, will bow. And every tongue will confess. Those of you who know not Christ, you do not know Him as your personal Savior. He may not be your Lord now as far as your life, although He does own you. You are His creation. But you one day will bow and you will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. You see, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything under the earth, one day, and I don't know if you can picture what it's going to be like to bow your knee before He who is perfectly righteous and have to confess with our tongue that He is Lord. I don't know about you. I want Jesus to come back. I want the return of the Lord to come. I'd like to leave this place. I'd like to go to heaven. But there's one thing that I don't want us to do. I do not want to stand before Him. That is a fearful thing to me. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Revelation 20:11. "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away." And that name doesn't cause us to fear. When the very earth and heaven will flee, and there was found no place with them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, last of it, and verse 31. "And again, the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Talking about the judgment seat of Christ, Paul said terror, literally fear, fearing God of who He is and what He is. The word name is used for everything which the name covers, everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name. Let me repeat that one more time. The word name is used for everything which the name covers, everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name. Doesn't the wisest man who ever lived outside of Jesus Christ end his book by saying, "Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Let me ask you, what do you think when you think of the name Jesus? I can promise you this, on this Lord's Day, His name was not very revered in many places that call themselves church. I would dare say that many people who call themselves Christians throughout the week, and by the way, I used to say this to our people, I might as well say it here. Do you know that the real you is not here today? The real you, how you live, is not really here. We know how to act here. We know how we ought to act, talk, things such as that. We know our conduct around the church and the people of God, the things of God. Well, what are you really like when you're by yourself? My God, the Bible says, is imminent. He sees all, knows all. Whatever you do, wherever you are, He sees and knows everything that you and I do, think, feel, say, our intents, our motives, everything about us, He knows. When we say Jesus, what do you think? When we say Jesus Christ, when we say the Lord Jesus Christ, is there any fear of the Lord in your life. Let me say this, those of you who are saved, I'm not going to go into this. I'm just going to mention it. But the sanctification, when our pastors have taught us that when we got saved, He is Lord. No two stage, you don't have to make Him Lord. He's already Lord in my life. But do you realize this? The degree of holiness that I strive to have in my life is directly proportionate to the degree that He is Lord of my life. Are you growing in sanctification? Are you growing in holiness? Are you becoming more godly in your life? If there's some sins, and yes, the sin that so easily besets us, well, if we make excuses for it, if we just go ahead and we don't try to mortify it, don't try to have get that sin and have victory, if I can use an old fundamental term, victory over that, mortify that sin, if we are content with where we are and what we are in our Christian life, can I say He's really not the Lord He wants to be in your life? Because, see, He is possessor of all things. How much of us does He really have? Those of you who are lost, you never know what today holds. Did you hear about the school shooting this last week? Those kids left home thinking that they would see their mom and dad. It was going to be a normal routine day. Nothing was going to change. You're going to go to work. We'll go to work tomorrow. We're going to think that everything is going to be a normal routine day. Nothing's going to change. There's not going to be any tragedy in our life tomorrow or today. How quickly lives were changed in a matter of seconds. I don't know how many shots he fired, but as fast as what it took to fire those shots in that cafeteria, there were several lives that were changed forever. You who know not Christ, you have no guarantee that you'll wake up tomorrow. You have no guarantee you'll see the sun to set tonight. You, as well as I, those who are saved, we are one heartbeat from eternity. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you flee to Him? Would you look to Him? Would you realize that Jesus is more than what society says He is? What more churches? He's more than what many churches claim Him to be. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, one who truly should be feared. Christian, how about you and I? Where is the Lordship of Christ in our life? One last verse, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I've had people tell me, I've had men say, I don't believe in hell. It really doesn't matter what you believe or what you don't believe. It doesn't change what God says. There is a hell. There is a judgment, and He is Lord. Fear God. Father, I pray that You'll bless us now. We thank You for these short words. Father, we just ask that You will help us, those of us who are saved. Father, help us, I pray, that You would help us to have that vision of Isaiah, that when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up upon His throne. Oh, Father, help us not to live our Christian life so flippantly, so irresponsibly, when You are to be the possessor and the controller of all. Those sitting here today, they know not Christ. If they were to die right now, they'd go to that place called hell. Father, I pray that You'll help them to contemplate and to realize that one heartbeat, 5 seconds. Father, I pray that they'll flee to Christ. I pray that they will look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless now, and Father, as we observe Your supper, I just ask for grace and mercy and Your strength and Your working of Thy Spirit in our hearts and lives to Your glory and edification, that he who is Christ would truly have a name above all names. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.